All right, are we on? Okay. So first we started with some ha'aros before we got into the new topics. The first ha'ara was on the topic of kli pachas misha v'pruta, whether that could count as a pruta or not. So we already discussed that in great length. He just added one sheet that the Rav had, which said you have to work out. It's not so kosher in the sugyas. But he wanted an excuse to mention the famous chakira of the sma, I'm quoting the sma and the taz, in the beginning of Choshen Mishmah, Simon Kovtzadi, whether when you buy, can be kesef, when you buy land, is that kesef piraon or kesef kinyan? What their actual machlokas is, when I buy land, do I have to pay the money as the price of the land, or can I just give a symbolic pruta? The Sma says it's only about kesef piraon, it's only a valid kinyan if I'm actually paying the price. And that doesn't mean I always have to give all the money up front. He discusses how even if I don't give all the money up front, I can still make sure that it's clear that it's the price, but I have to give the price. Well, the Taz thinks that no, it's just a symbolic act. Before we tie it back to Shavuos, what do they each mean by that shita? Pashas, most people understand when the Taz says Kesef Kinyan, what he means is just a way of symbolizing our intent to do the transaction by transferring a dollar. When the Sma says Kesef Piraon, so the way most people understand the Sma is Kesef Piraon means quid pro quo. We're exchanging something, so I give you something of value, and it's logical that I get something of value instead. The Rav had a very fancy understanding of the Sma's Kesef Piraon, not taking the word Piraon very literally. He said Piraon means paying a debt. So the way the Kinyan works is I pay the debt that I would have owed if I had gotten the land, and therefore that makes me Kona the land. A very fancy explanation of Kesef Piraon. Most people understand, no, Machlok is Kesef Piraon. Kesef Kinyan just means Kesef Piraon is quid pro quo. And Kesef Kinyan is a symbolic act that symbolizes our intent to engage in this transaction. Yeah?
Maybe this is beyond her, but what's the advantage to saying the words? Right?
He got into this once in greater length in a previous year, and it wasn't clear to me if there was one. It wasn't clear to me if there was an advantage, or the Rav just thought that's what it meant. It's a little mysterious. I'm not sure. I never really achieved an appreciation of that perspective. We can ask him. He pointed out the Nesivas Alatar there brings a nice riot of the Taz, which is that Matana Manas Lahafzir works for Kinyan Kesef, and it's hard to go left your own because you're not really enriching him, but as Kesef Kinyan, it makes perfect sense. It is a symbolic act. Okay. Lemaisa, what does that have to do with us? The Rav once suggested that it could be that when it comes to whether a kli less than a shav pruta can count as kesef or not, maybe for kesef kinyan it would count, because that's just a symbolic act. You just need something of any significance. But for kesef piraon, which is really talking about enriching someone and replenishing their bank account, then it would not count. The Rav felt very strongly about the distinction. He even said that, kesef kinyan maybe would count, maybe it wouldn't, kesef piraon not. Doesn't necessarily match all that we've shown him, but the Rav tied it into this chiluk, and certainly on some level, it makes sense to tie it into this chiluk, at least for some shittas. Okay, the second ha'ara was on the topic of shove and davka, so he just sort of hazarded some things he said. Number one, that maybe it's possible to say they're arguing about whether he has the right to demand shove and davka. He mentioned there's a lot of discussion when it comes to someone owes you money, do you have the right to demand davka land, davka a certain type of land, davka a certain land, but he didn't really get into it. And he chazed also, but he mentioned earlier, that when it comes to Pesach, the Ramban and others said, since we hold like Rav, that Shtei Kesef is in the Kfira, we have to hold like Rav, because the chain proves that we have to hold, the logical chain proves that we have to hold like Rav, that he means Shaveh. But the Rashba said, no, we hold like Shmuel and all the Nimonis until proven otherwise, so we hold like Shmuel that it's Davka, and somehow we get out of the Mishnah for Rav. Okay, and the Ritva discussed what happens if you agree to give me something? Can I tie a shav or daf or whatever? The right to tie not ayin shav. Okay, that was just mostly chazara. The third ha'ara was about mimina taina. So first of all, we chazered an earlier ha'ara, which is that Rabbi Gamliel obviously holds you don't need hodam mimina taina. That's the Mishnah. Assuming we pass you do need hodam mimina taina, our Gemara says because of gzeiras hakasav, but you could have said also that it's misvara. Misvara. This is not a modem mikdas because you're talking about one thing, he's talking about something totally different, and his hodah is no seira to your taina. It's just opening an entirely new court case. Our Gemara says that it's gzeiras hakasav, so it could be. Not the both days kind of gzeiras hakasav. I don't remember. I thought that wasn't what the Gemara was saying. Okay. In any case, he said it could be there's Seidinim, which I guess maybe we'll get back to. Maybe there's some types of Shalom Minatainas, which are such a Shalom Minataina that it's just Lekar Zelzeh, and of course they don't belong in the same court case, and there's no Havamina that are Mode Mikdas, and then there might be other types of Minatainas which are close enough that they're in the same court case, but they're still Pacho Pigzeres Akasav. There could be Nafkaminas, that's an idea to keep in mind, but we didn't apply it. Then he also pointed out that when you want to define what's the same min as something else, it's very tricky. You always have to ask yourself two questions. Number one, how am I defining min? Is min about what it's made of, about what it does, what its function is, etc.? And number two, however I'm defining min, am I going to define it liberally or narrowly? So, you just might be makel or machmer. So I could define min by what it's made of, but define the category more broadly or narrowly, or by its function, but define it broadly or narrowly. And that gets... we didn't specifically apply that. Yes.
He didn't mention this, but it's possible the language uses. He gave an example of silverware. Silverware include spoons. In Hebrew, silverware is sakot, which is sakin, kafin, mazlei. So I was thinking maybe.
Either way, silverware includes spoons, no?
Well, I thought maybe even if you say that in English, a spoon is not considered a minotaur of silverware, but in Hebrew, since that's what the word is mean, you would say so.
Really? Okay, I thought it was possible that either way it would be a minotaur. He was just saying spoons are not minotaur of forks.
Oh, he thought it was possible that spoons are minotaur of silverware?
I thought so. Okay. You could ask him. But yeah, I thought that was pretty possible.
That's what he said.
Yeah, and mamish is silverware, I think. I'll check with my wife. the last thing we pointed out is when it comes to minotaur, are we interested only in the demand that you're making practically? I am asking you for X, or I'm asking you for Y, and you're admitting you'll give me a Y, or you're admitting you'll give me Z? Or are we also interested in the reason why you owe me X, or X, Y, or Z? Like, what if we both agree that you owe me the same thing, but I tie it for one reason, and you tie it for a totally different reason? So is that a problem? Theoretically, he didn't say this, but you could have said that that wouldn't fall under Xerxes Akasa, after all. It's still Mimina Taina, but it might fall under the Svara of just being a different Eni. But there are three sheets about this. The Rambam says in Toin Venetan Gimel Yudalid that if I say you owe me $100 halva and you're mowed at 50 shekel, $50 pikadon or whatever, then that's a regular mode of mikdas because we only care about the result that I'm demanding, not the background behind it. He may have been unclear when he said what parak was at that point in Shira, but it is in parak Gimel Halacha Yudalit because I saw it there. That's the Rambam quotes from his Ravim. The Ravid argues. The Rambam says, well, I claim 100 halva and you admit 50 bikadom. That is a chi of mode of mikdas. It's irrelevant why I think you owe me money and why you admit. Money and money, that's even a taina. The background is irrelevant. The Ravid goes to the other extreme and says, not only if I say you owe me 100 hodah and you admit you owe me 50 pikadon, are you potter? That's not mimina taina. Even if I say you owe me 50 halva and 50 pikadon, and you admit the 50 pikadon, which if it was chiv misorim would be chayiv, so you hold like Shmuel, that tano chiv misorim lachem neim is chayiv. You're still potter because this is worse than different minim. This is worse than different minim because it's different different court cases entirely. Different meaning, at least if I say you only keep the sword and you admit one of them, you're chayiv. Here, even if I say you only become an alban, you admit one of them, you're putter. Because this is super different meaning. It's worse than different meaning because it's a different court case entirely, as opposed to chit and sorin, which are not a different court case entirely. They're just two different examples. So the Rambam says this is better than chit and sorin. We ignore the reasons behind it, and you're chayiv. The Rambam says this is worse than chit and sorin. Even if it's tanu two things and you admit one, you're still putter because it's legamre not mitzur to one another. And the middle shita is the Ramban. He didn't quote where it was, but it was. It's sort of mentioned very, very briefly by the Magen Mishnah there. I think the main place the Ramban says she is about Mitzia Daf Tzadikas on base, although it could be he says it in many other places as well, but he definitely says it there. He says the middle sheet, no, it's just like Chitin and Sorin. Halvan Pikadon is exactly the same as Chitin and Sorin, which means that if I tie the Halvan, you admit Pikadon, that's like Tano Chitin and Sorin is Potter. But if I tie the Halvan and Pikadon and you admit one of them, that's like Tano Chit and Sorin, Bodul of Achmehem, and your Chayev. So there's three different shitas about how the reason you owe me money fits into the idea of Hodavim and Atayin. Again, the Ramban says just like Chit and Sorin. The Ramban says it's better than Chit and Sorin. We don't care about the reason. Money is money. The Ravid says worse than Chit and Sorin. Even in the case where Chit and Sorin be Chayev, this is Potter, because they're Legamri Minutak from one another. Then we got into the main topic, which is the Gemara in Daf Mem Amud Aleph, the Gemara we were up to, which says that in Shavuos Eid Echad, even on a Pruta, you're Chayav Shua. Which, really, and this is we discussed briefly, or we discussed from one angle previously, question whether you need Shtei Kesef by other Shuas, or whether it's only a local din by Modim and Mikzas. So, first we dealt with Shuas HaPikadon. Now, Shuas HaPikadon, again, is just keep in mind, when we talk about Chiyuv Shavuos HaPikadon, we mean by the word Chiyuv something different than when we talk about Chiyuv Shavuos Mod Mikdas or Chiyuv Shavuos Eidach or Nishvam and Otlin or Vechuli Vechuli. All these other Shavuos are talking about when the Dayanim will say to Ploni Ploni, you have to swear. Shavuos HaPikadon is talking about if someone swore falsely, whether they're chayiv to bring an Asham Vechomesh, what we call a Asham Gzelos, and pay Karen Vechomesh. So, how about Shavuos HaPikadon? So, Tosos Mavakam Dabkov Gimel and Aleph seems to have two different opinions about whether you're chayiv Shavuos HaPikadon on less than Shtei Kesef or not. His first opinion says, well, if you're kafatz v'nishba, if you jump up and swear on your own, even on a prut, you're chayiv Shavuos HaPikadon. And his second opinion says, Taka, maybe I can't think of any scenario where you'd be chayiv Shavuos HaPikadon on less than Shtei Kesef. Oh, what's the case? You have to bring him a pruta if you swore falsely in Shtei Kesef, but it was on. But it was only false on a pruta that Shtei Kesef. But the whole shvua was a false shvua on Shtei Kesef. Because you really owed him a pruta and you denied everything. Okay. There seems to be two debates about this. Why would you think that you're not chayiv Shavuos HaPikadon? After all, Shavuos HaPikadon, the issue is not a judicial proceeding, is what the judges are going to paskin, just whether you have to bring carbon to the Saveira. Why would you think you're not chayiv Shavuos HaPikadon unless in Shtei Kesef, which the second day in Tosfos seems to hold? After all, we paskin that Kafat V'Nishba is chayiv. You're chayiv Shavuos HaPikadon even if the Bezdin didn't make you swear, even if you swore in Rome. Obviously, a guy could swear in his own on a pruta if he wants. So why would the second day in Tosfos seem to hold that you're putter on Shavuos HaPikadon less than Shtei Kesef? So that might have to do with the Gemara Daf Lam Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara Daf Lam Zayin Amud Beis connects the whole question of Chiyuv Shavuos HaPikadon or Karka to the question of whether Karka is Zealous and whether there's a Shul on Karka, etc. Why should there be a Torah Shavuos HaPikadon on Karka? Exactly, what's the connection? So Rav Chaim assumed that Shavuos HaPikadon, this is, as you can imagine, anyone could figure out the main chakira in Shavuos HaPikadon. You steal something you swear falsely about, it is the mechayev the gzela. I'll deny that you swear falsely and cement your gzela, or is the mechayev the shavuos sheker. I'll deny this is a very serious shavuos sheker, because it's about a terrible Indian called gzela. Okay? So Rav Chaim assumed that the mechayev Shavuos HaPikadon is gzela, And therefore, the real issue is karka nixelus. Karka ain't an nixelus, and this is we paskin karka ain't. If karka would have been nixelus, you'd be chayiv shvua. We paskin karka ain't nixelus, you'd be chayiv karban. Since we paskin karka ain't nixelus, that's why shvua sabikadon doesn't apply. The Rashi, in the earlier part of that sugya, Tosa seems to echo, this seems to assume, no. There's no shvua sabikadon on karka. There's no chayiv shvua sabikadon on karka, because you're not chayiv to swear, like modem miktas or eyechad b'chuli on karka. What does that have to do with anything? After all, you're chayiv shvua sabikadon even on a voluntary false shvua, even if you're a kapat v'nishva. So just because the judges won't make you swear on karka, why does that mean that there's no punishment for shvua sabikadon? So pashtus, what Rashi means, is that even though you're chayiv shvua sabikadon when you voluntarily take a false shvua, that's because it's the kind of shvua that Yonah might have made you take. Just you decided to take it voluntarily before they got around to it, to hearing the evidence one way or the other and making their decision. But you're only chayiv shvua sabikadon for shvua sadayanim, or for at least something that's a potential in the realm of shvua sadayanim. If you optionally take something that could have been a shvua sadayanim, then you're chayiv shvua sabikadon. But on a shvua that's legame mokka from shvua sadayanim, a shvua that is not a kind of shvua that would be a shvua sadayanim at all, there's no chayiv shvua sabikadon. In other words, what Rashi's being mechadish is that unlike what we would have thought, since your chayiv shvua sabikadon comes to nishva, that means the chayiv shvua sabikadon has nothing to do with the rules of when bezin makes you swear. You're just chayiv anytime you swore falsely. But Rashi's saying no, you're chayiv anytime you swore falsely on a shvua that theoretically would be shayiv for the dayanim to make you swear. But there's still a link between shvua sabikadon and shvua sadayanim. You only chayiv a korban for a full shvua sabikadon if it was a type of shvua which you might have taken voluntarily, but was shayich for the dayanim to impose on you. So, if we assume, like that daya, that, like that, not like Rav Chaim's hesber, that the Torah of Karka is because no zeila, but like Rashi and Tosis' hesber, that the Torah of Karka, again, agav, it might also seem like it's just a drosh from a pasuk in that Shaka Vataria, which makes it a little more complicated to understand Rashi. We're not going to get into that iron shove if you really want to get into it. But if we assume, like Rashi says in the beginning of that sugya, that the Torah Shvus of Kanan and Karka is because it's Mukka from Shvus of Ayanim, then we understand why Tosis was Pater, Pachas Mishte Kesef from Shvus of Kanan, because it's Mukka from Shvus of Ayanim. In which case, so let's just take it here. Shvus HaPikadon, Chayav, the Pachos Mishtei Kesef. This is Tosos' first answer. Pater, if it's Pachos Mishtei Kesef, that is Tosos' number two. Second answer, what are they? What's the svara of that second answer? L'chora, the svara of that second answer is that since Pachas Mishtei Kesef is Mufka Shvuas Adayanim, therefore it's Pater from the Chiyuv of Shvuas Hafikadon. What would the first day of Tosfos hold? So before the first day of Tosfos could hold, based on what we've said, I guess one of three things. Either he could hold like the Grah, that there's no link between Shvuas Hafikadon and what there would have been in Shvuas HaDayanim on, or he could hold some Shvuas HaDayanim apply to Pachos Mishtei Kesef, such as Eid Echad. Maybe he would hold, unlike Tosos in on our daf, that Shvuas Eid Echad apply to Pachos Mishtei Kesef, then it's not Mufkim Shvuas HaDayanim, then obviously he'd be Chayev. Or Gimel, he'd say, Karka is Mokka from Shua Sadayanim. Because the type of thing, there's no Shua Sadayanim. Pachas Mishtei Kesef, it's not Mokka from Shua Sadayanim, it's money. It's just that it hasn't risen to the level of importance that you need a Shua Sadayanim on. But it's not Mokka from Shua Sadayanim, it's just Pachas Mikashir. Karka is Mokka. Pachas Mishtei Kesef is just too small. But that's not the same thing. Mukka. Mukka means you're fundamentally excluded. Karka is fundamentally excluded from Shvuas HaDayanim. Pachas Mishtei Kesef is money. It's not fundamentally excluded. You just don't have enough of it. Maybe then you'd be chayiv Shvuas HaPikadon. Okay.
If say all that, all those three possibilities?
Yes, but not in that order. First he said, well, there's Ruchayim and there's this, which sort of implied that one way out of this is Ruchayim. Then he said there's two ways out of that. But, you know, if you just put it in Baptist order, then that's what he said. Now let's talk about Shuas Eid Echad. Shuas Eid Echad, Yuchayim or Potter, if it's less than Shtei Kesef, does the rule apply? So obviously it's a Mefurish Gemara. That you're chayim less than Shtei Kesef. That's in the first Gemara. It seems to be case closed, except for the fact that Tosfos says that that Gemara is only according to Shmuel, but according to Rav, who we paskin like, so it's not just theoretical, it's actually halacha l'maisa according to Tosfos, there would be no chiyuv of Shuas Eid Echad on Pachos mi Shtei Kesef. Why does Tosfos? Why does Tosfos prove this? Why does Tosfos have to say this? So Tosfos has to say this is reminiscent of what we just said a second ago. Tosfos has to say this because he's bothered by karka. All it says is, so why can't they have to be chayshu on karka? Why is karka part of Shuas Eid Echad? So the only answer is, I believe, that it's extrapolated from Modim Mitzvahs. Whatever's part of Modim Mitzvahs is part of Eid Echad. Then if Pachim Yishei Kess is Pachim Modim Mitzvahs, it also has to be Pachim Eid Echad. And it's just logical. What does he do with our Gemara? Our Gemara is according to Shmuel. Shmuel says Pachim Yishei Kess is Chayim Yishuas Modim Mitzvahs, because the Kefir can be a Pruta. So too, Eid Echad can be Chayim Yishuas and a Pruta. But according to Rab, who says you can't swear Yishuas Modim Mitzvahs unless you Shtei Kesef, then you also can't swear Yishuas Eid Echad unless you Shtei Kesef. Tosfos seems to have a very good proof. It's extrapolated from Modeh B'Mikdas, just like Karka. Seems to be good proof. How do the other Rishonim get out of this? None of the other Rishonim agree with Tosfos. How do we know? Number one, because they don't say like Tosfos, and they say opposite, but also, just because they named Psach, means all the other Shonim paskin like Rav, and yet they paskin like this line of the Gemara, then they'd have to chai Yishua on a Pruta. So they obviously think that this is not a good, Tosfos doesn't have a good time then. How would they get out of it? So they get out of it just the way we explained right there. They said, you can't compare Karka to Pachs Mishtei Kesef. Karka is mufka from Shuas Modeh B'Mikdas. So we say anything that's mufka from Shuas Modeh B'Mikdas is mufka from Shuas Eid Echad. But Pachos Mishtei Kesef is not mufka from Modeh B'Mikdas. Pachos Mishtei Kesef is just too small for Shuas Modeh B'Mikdas. But it's not mufka. It's just too small for Shuas Modeh B'Mikdas. So if it's fundamentally shot Shuas Modeh B'Mikdas, it's just not enough. Then we don't have to extend to Eid Echad. That's what the other Rishonim. Would say specifically the Rishone Svarad. The one side point came up. We brought in a very very famous Chakira here, which is that Tosfos says that there's no such thing as a Shua on Karka. And that's why we can say there's no Shua Eid Echad on Karka. What do you mean there's no such thing as a Shua on Karka? After all, we just have on Daf, where is it? Daf Mem and Beis, maybe? He says, of course, lo mishkachas mishtaba v'shom makom. No chi yeshua v'shom makom on Karka. It just says on Beis, Zokin, that if I tiny, you owe me Karka and $100, and you admit $50. So your Modeh B'Mikdas, you have to swear on the other $50. And the principle of Gilgul Shvua, you have to swear on the Karka as well. Gilgul Shvua means that I sue you for two things, and you have to swear on one of them, you also have to swear on the other one. And the principle of Zokikin tells us that even if the other one is Karka, you still have to swear on it. So there is such thing as this. Why does Tosfos say there's never a Shvua on Karka, there is a Shvua on Karka? So, lovely said, this might prove which side of the Bakira Tosfos holds in the famous Gilgul Shvua, in the famous Gilgul Shvua Chakira, the Chakir in Gilgal Shvua is, let's say I sue you, again, for $50, for $100, you know, and that you're my Eved Ivri. So you admit $50, you have to surrender the other $50. So Gilgal Shvua, you also have to surrender my Eved Ivri. Is it that one Chiv Shvua creates another Chiv Shvua, now you have two Chiv Shvuas, one on the $50, the other one, this is actually an example of the Gemara gave, that you're not my Eved. Or no, there's just one Chiv Shvua and the $50. There's a rule that once you have a Chiv Shvua, you might as well enlarge it and include in that Chiv Shvua anything else that needs to be clarified. So it's not that one Chiv Shvua spawns a second Chiv Shvua and there are two Chiv Shvuas. There's only one Chiv Shvua. But we throw it once you're already swearing. We wouldn't make you swear to take Hashem's name unless it was worthwhile. But once you're taking Hashem's name anyway, you might as well throw in the kitchen sink in Kvar. So Tos was obviously hold like the second side of the Hakira, because Tos says you never have a Chiv Shvua in Karka. With the Gilgal Shvua in Karka. So if Gilgal Shvua would be a second Chiv Shvua, then Tosus would be illogical, nonsensical. So Tosus must hold like the second side of the Hakira, that Gilgal Shvua, it's just the same Chiv Shvua all along. It's just we throw some other things in as long as you're swearing. Therefore, there is no Chiv Shvua in Karka. We're just throwing it into a Shvua on something else. But it's not really a Shvua in Karka. We're just throwing it into some to a Shvua on the top one. Okay. Well, the rule of Zokikin, which is that Gilgal Shvua applies to Karka, is on Daf Mem Beis right here, although it's actually quoted, the Lashon Zokikin is quoted in the Mishnah in Kiddushin Daf Chav Chesed Min Aleph, or something like that, Chav Zayin Min Aleph, I think. Chav Vavah Min Aleph. Okay, Chav Vavah Min Aleph. And Gilgal Shvua is, it's all over the place. Okay, now we dealt with, before we got back to like adding some more columns to this chart, we dealt with the Tosfos and the Inyan of Eid Echad. So Tosfos had a very, very little toast here. He says, Lav Davka, because, as we just pointed out, Shnayim are Mechayim Karka, and Eid Echad is not Mechayim him Karka. So it's Lav Davka. So we have 2 hours in this. Number one, well, why wouldn't they be Davka? So you don't always have to answer that. Like, it's a kol mak that 2 Eidim are chayim mum and 1 is chayim shvua, but lav davka because it doesn't apply to karka. Why not? So Lipstein suggested maybe you could say what they meant is whatever 2 Eidim have the power to be mechayiv you, the viewer power to be mechayiv you, money. 1 Eid has the power to be mechayiv you shvua, and even in karka 1 Eid has the power to be mechayiv you shvua. It's just a rule you can't have a shvua in karka. But it's not that the Echad isn't powerful enough to be Mechayiv Yeshua and Karka. It's that he is powerful enough to be Mechayiv Yeshua and Karka, just there's no such thing, so he can't create something that is impossible. Because there's a rule, it's impossible to have Yeshua and Karka. So that's how he wanted to sweeten the Ha'orah of this Tosfos. The other point that he wanted to mention is that the Rishalmi has a parallel to this Tosfos, and basically says, what Lichtenstein just says, that's where he got the idea. The Yerushalmi says, what do you mean, Kalmach, Shnei Mechayim, and Osomam, and Ech Mechayim, and Shmuel, what about Karka? Said, Shmei, the Ein Lishon al Karkos, which sounds like, no, don't bring that in. What we meant is the Ein Lishon always has the power to Mechayim Yeshua, but there can't be Yeshua and Karka, so Nebuch, what can we do? But that's not a pagam of the Ein Echad. That's just a side point, a separate problem. What's interesting is the Yerushalmi brought up 2 parallel objection said, what about Karka? This is what about Knas? Eid Echad doesn't make you swear on Knas. So the answer is, Shnei is well Knas too. There can't be a Shvua in Knas. Why can't there be a Shvua in Knas? Because I guess because the whole point of a Shvua is that you either admit or you have to swear. And if you admit the Knas, you're Potter. And if you swear, you're Potter. So the whole thing becomes, you know, doesn't really apply so well. The Maisa, this is, why did Tosos bring in Karka? Why didn't Tosos bring up Knas? Meaning, yeah, I don't know, maybe Tosfos knew the Yerushalmi, probably they knew the Yerushalmi, even if they were missing this page of Yerushalmi, I mean, they could have figured it out logically. Why not say, why didn't Tosfos say, Lav Dafda, Ikakir, Shibin Karkos, and Knas? So again, you don't have to answer this question, but maybe you could say, this is Tosfos, L'shita say, in Babakam Dafim Alopam and Bays. There they had a machlokas from Rilezim Rabbi Kiva, who had a darshan balash from Naki, we know there's many deos there. So he says, Naki from Chatzi Kofer. Meaning, if you're a short time, kill someone, you don't pay Chatzi Kofer. So Rabbi Akiva said, what do you mean? Of course you don't have to pay Chatzi Kofer, because if you kill someone, the shore gets stoned. and then there's nothing left to pay from. Because, you know, time is only Rishon Migufo. So Rilo says, do you think I'm such an idiot? He says, what I meant is, even if the shor doesn't get Misa, because there was only an Eid Echad, or Hodas Baal didn't approve that he did, he still doesn't have to be Chatzi Kofar. So Ari asks, what do you mean? Hodas Baal didn't? What's the Hav mean to pay Chatzi Kofar? It's Modeh V'Knas. Now, the Gemara didn't say Eid Echad. What's the Hav mean for an Eid Echad to be Mechayev Knas? So I looked into it. I'm not sure if it looks like what is out. The Tosfos on the page said, "No, in Echadami in Hodas Baal is no Hav mean of Knas, and in Eid Echad is no Hav mean of Knas." But the Tosfos Rush, in his first answer there, and maybe that's also the Lashon of Tosfos, the Lashon is a little confusing.
It sounds like from the last line, it says, Ahagad al Yodah for Eid Baal of Chiyuzeh. It sounds like there are two answers. So the second answer
is... that's what the Tosfos Rush had very clear. It was two answers. In Tosfos, it wasn't as clear to me. But whatever. So Tosfos is the Tosfos Rush there. If you don't see it in Tosfos, look in Tosfos Rush, and then you'll see it. It said that, no, Taka, in Hodas Baal Din, it's a kasha, there's no knas. But in Eid Echad, there would be a shvua and knas. So there is a day out there that there is a shvua and knas. That in Eid Echad doesn't give Chayiv a shvua and knas, and maybe that's what Tosfos here holds. Why did Tosfos here only mention Taka, not knas? Because maybe he holds, like that day in Tosfos and Baba Kama, that Taka in Eid Echad is a Chayiv a shvua and knas. Unlike Yerushalmi.
Did you say it's a Marashah?
What?
What was his Marashah?
So it could be that, now this was what he seemed to be saying there, is that no, only if you're Modeh Stam are you Pater from Knas. But what they actually testify is if you're Modeh Yerchayim in Knas. That's called, you know, that's called Asher Yishion Elohim V'lo Mashi Asatma. So what's the sort of this Machlokas, if then we've seen there's a Machlokas. Meaning we know there's a machlokas anyway, because the Yerushalmi and one day in Tosfos and many Rishonim saying Eid Echad does not make you swear on Knas. And one day in Tosfos there in Bava Kama saying Eid Echad does make you swear on Knas. The only thing we're looking at is that our Tosfos hold like that one day, because he says Karka and leaves out Knas. So what the Yisod of the machlokas? So maybe they're arguing about, so what are they arguing about? So, could be that, that they're arguing about the Shvuah, or it could be they're arguing about Knas. There's a big Chakira and Knas. How does this whole thing work? It's Modeh V'Knas Patur, etc. Is it that you're Chayiv Knas as soon as you do it? Just there are some technicalities in terms of what happens in the future, Modeh V'Knas Patur, and Shnei Edim, etc., etc., and Dayan Smuchin, etc. Or, no. Let's take it back a second. What we call mamon, meaning if I do a mazik you, the regular old-fashioned hezek, I break your vase, or I borrow money from you, or I buy groceries and I haven't paid my tab yet, that's called mamon. The maisa creates the chi of mamon. Now, I have to prove it if I want to enforce it, but the chi is there up in Shemai. How about knas? So is that a knas also the maisa creates a chi of knas, just there's a lot of rules about what happens subsequently and it gets complicated? Or no, the maisa doesn't create any chi of knas. Bezdin creates the chi of knas by their pesach, which is why Modeh is pater and you're not, and we don't make you pay till Bezdin says so. So it could be that's the machlokas. That if you say the mice is machayv the knas, then an echad can make you swear there's a chi up here. If you say that only the Bezdin machayv the knas, then what's the echad making you swear about? You're not chayv anything until two edim come and prove it to Bezdin. It's a non-issue. Or it could be that, that they're arguing about, like power of shua. Maybe everyone agrees that right now there's no chi of knas yet till Bezin Paskin there is. But if someone sues you for something that's not right now a chi of mamon, but is sort of a potential chi of mamon, maybe they're arguing whether you have a shua on a potential chi of mamon on a unformed chi of mamon. I think those are the two possibilities that Lichtenstein was trying to say. In terms of the issue of the Chakir and Knas, there's tons of Nafkaminas all over Shas, Kayadua. You know, the Rash brings up the issue of Maruba. How about Lutzis Yudhi Shemayim? Should a Modeh V'Knas pay? But he pointed out that in Yerushalmi Ksuvos, there's actually Machlokas, whether a Knas is Chayiv Mikan al Habar or Mafreya, which seems to be exactly this Chakira, is it that Bezdin has to pass it, then it's Mafreya, and one else Mafreya, you're Chayiv all along. Or, and you just didn't get out of it, or that, no, you only chayim kanal abo when Bezdin says so. Okay, so they're arguing again either about whether there is a chi of knas before Bezdin paskins, or kulinal is no chi of knas before Bezdin paskins, but can you be chi of shua on this potential chi of knas?
Yeah,
Yeah, Ellie was going to say, why aren't they just arguing about whether it's considered hodos baal if an aid came against you already? And I'm not sure why you can say that.
You just need an aid. This is brought here because this is trying to illustrate
your point. Oh, because he had a diuk in that little tosos.
It just, tosos is no class, he's okay with that.
Right. And then he got into what's the sort of the makhlokas. Okay. What? It wasn't a hakir. He didn't explain it as a hakir, just machlokas. Maybe everyone agreed that it's a potential chi of mamon. They're arguing whether there's a chi of shvua only on an actual chi of mamon or even on a potential chi of mamon. I think that's what he's trying to say. I didn't get 100% clue, but I think that's what he's trying to say. Okay, now we got into the issue of the lumdus of shvuas eid echad. Well, how does shvuas eid echad? How does shvuas eid echad work? So in our Gemara has this fascinating equation, wherever two Edom are Mechayev Mamon, one Edom Mechayev Shvuah. This comparison between one Edom and two Edom. The question is, how seriously do we take that? So, does it just mean two Edom are Mechayev Mamon? One Edom is doing something totally different than you swear, but it so happens that B'chol Makom, that they apply to the same types of things. Or no, is that equation more serious, that one Edom actually is very similar to two Edom are Mechayev Mamon? So, is there a havmi that one aid is shaykhus to mamon? So, Lichtenstein pointed out, yes, there's a very strange line in the Gemara in Daf Lamed Beis and Aleph in our Masechet. There's machlokes with other chachamim about whether an aid echad is chayiv shvuas aidus or not, right? If I have one aid against you and he refuses to testify and swears falsely, then he doesn't want to testify, is he chayiv a carbon olaviyorid, like it says in my Yikra Perek Hay, or not? So the Gemara at first thinks that they're arguing whether Eid Echad l'shvua ka'asa or the Mamona ka'asa. Is an Eid Echad coming for Mamon or for Shvua? Now, what does that mean? That's a strange line. What are they arguing about? Rashi says something very radical. He says, what does it mean, the Mamona ka'asa? He says what it says. There's one day in that Gemara, at least at first, that an Eid Echad is Mechayiv Mamon. Oh, it says, L'yakim Eid Echad v'ishcha lov m'chol ka'atas. He says, Avon Echadas, he can't punish you with an onesh like Makos or Misa, but he can make you pay money. Doesn't say lo yak made a chad for money. It says l'chol open l'chol chatos. So what's the svara of Rashi? So the svara of that day in the Gemara, according to Rashi, seems to be that what's the point? Lo yak made echad ish. An echad cannot testify on you. Can't make chalos on you. An echad can't make chalos on a human being. But when he's making you pay money, that's not chalos on you. It's chalos on the money. He's saying, there's this money there, we thought it was yours, and he's proving that it's mine. It's not a chalos on you. It's not a punishment on you. It's just that he's telling us, this money is in your house, it's actually my money. It's chalos on the money. So, Rashi has this radical opinion, meaning, it's only one suggestion at one point in the Gemara, and this is only Rashi's interpretation of it, but there is such a sheet out there, that an effort is mamish b'chayiv money, unlike everything we know, which is very radical. And what's the svara? The svara is, why not? It's not chalos on you, it's just money. Then the question is, whenever you have a radical shita, so some people say, don't waste your time learning radical shitas, because they can't be true. Other people would say, no, it's important to learn radical shitas. So then the question is, when we hold the mainstream shita, is there an echo of that radical shita? Are we really the ikaron somewhere agreeing with that radical shita? Or are we rejecting entirely? Why do we reject the radical shita? Because it was stupid all along? Or because it's true, but... So then, that's the chakira here. We obviously reject this shita. The very fact that there's a shita causes us to ask the question, do we reject this shita if it's ridiculous that an echad be mechayiv mamon? Or because takanek an echad can be mechayiv mamon. But since he's only an echad, he's mechayiv mamon, but with an escape hatch. With a shvua, you can get out of it. He's mechayiv mamon, but there's a way out, because after all, he's only an echad. So that's the chakira. What is shvua's echad? Is that the Eid Echad has no havmi of Mechayiv Mamon, and that's stupid. All it does is bring up a raglayin ledavar to make it worth our while to say, why don't you clarify a little more with the Shvuah? Or, no, an Eid Echad is Mechayiv Mamon. Rashi was really right, the Ikaron. But since he's only an Eid Echad, you can parry him with a Shvuah. So, the reluctant thought, obviously, there's a big sugya from the famous Hezbollah of the Rivam, the sugya of Nasad Rabbi Abba, which in Shuas and also Babasud of Lamed Aleph and Aleph, was a right to the second side, that Nasad Rabbi Abba, the Gemara says that you can't use a migo to get out of Shuas Eidachot. So why not? Right? If an Eidachot says, I grabbed the Osabel's computer, laptop, and I say, Taka, I did, But it was mine, and he grabbed it from me yesterday when no one was looking. So, Tosas asks, everyone asks, so if I had sworn that I didn't grab it, I would be Nevan. So let me swear that it was mine all along and be Nevan Bamigo. So there's a lot of technical answers which Tosas suggests. But the Rebbe says no. Once an Echad testifies against me, I can't use a Migo to get out of it. I either swear or pay. What does he mean by that? I mean, it's a little cryptic because he didn't actually explain what he meant by it. He just sort of said. But what it looks is what he thinks he means by it is that if an Eid Echad be a Chiv Shvua, then I'd give a different Chiv Shvua, you'd be Migo. But an Eid Echad, I have already lost the case and I have to pay. I can't get out of it with a Migo. Oh, I can get out with a Shvua. That's what I can get out. I have an escape hatch of a Shvua. But until I've sworn to contradict the Eid, if I don't use that escape hatch of Shvua, I mamash have a Chiv Mammon against me. Once I have mamash a Chiv Mammon, a finished Mardin of Chiv Mammon against me, I can't get out of that with such a weak Migo. So the Rigvam might hold like that. Second Tad. A possible nafgamina this Chakira is. A possible nafgamina of this might be the half famous machlokas between the Ramban and the Mordechai. Why is this half famous? Because everyone knows the Rambam Shita, and as Rilukhni pointed out, I think very accurately, leaving a lot of the decent Bnei Torah don't even know that there's another Shita out there. The Rambam says in the Furish in Eidus Perakei Halacha Gimel that whenever we believe in Eid Echad, it can be anyone, an Isha, apostle, anything, except by Shavuos Eid Echad. Shavuos Eid Echad has to be an Eid Kosher, like the one who could join together with another one like him in Bechayiv Mammon. It has to be an Eid Kosher. The Mordechai has this discussion, Shavuos Shimon Tavshin Ayin Beis, and Rabbi Nosimchu, the one speaking to the Mordechai there, says, no, even for a kind of an Eid apostle, you're Chayiv Shavuos Eid Echad. Then he says, and if you want to say you're not Chayiv Doraisa, you're Chayiv Dorabanan. That's an if. He really holds your Chayiv Doraisa. So it's machlok between Mordechai and the Rambam, whether you need an Eid Kosher or even an Eid Pasul. So look, he said, it makes a lot of sense that if this was really a Chayiv Mammon with an escape hatch, you should need an Eid Kosher. It's a Chayiv Mammon. The Rambam's right. If it's just a Raglayim Ledover to make you swear, then you could go either way. You could say the Rambam's right. Still, it's not a Raglayim Ledover unless someone trustworthy is saying something. Or you could say, no, for a Raglayim Ledover to make you swear, anyone can say something. He says, coming back to our sugi, you could go back and say that in terms of the whole issue of Shavapruto, though he didn't discuss how to get out of Tosis's point with the Karka. So I'm not sure how this fits into earlier discussion, but certainly if you thought it was a real Chiv Mammon, it'd make sense to say even a Shavapruto. If you thought it was just a Chiv Shvua, then it might make sense to say only Shvei Kesef.
Well, the Mordechai, what's the name?
Tavshin Ayin
Beis.
772. Theoretically, you could say that there are Tzvedim in Shvua Zed Echad. Although that would be a hitch. But you could say, you know what? They're both right. If an Eid Kosher comes and testifies against you, then you're Chayiv Mammon, but you have an escape hatch. If an Eid Apostle or an Isha comes to testify against you, then you're just a Chiddush Shvuah, because there's a reliable cover. That would be a Chiddush, say there was Tzvei Dinim. But theoretically, that would be possible. I don't know if anyone actually says this. Okay. In Tosos and Bavas with that Plamadala and Aleph versus the other answers, the Rambam, that you need an Eid Kosher. You could say like the Rambam or the Mordechai, and perhaps you would say even a Pruta because real Chiv Mammon, but you might require Shnei Kesef if it was a Chiv Shvua, again, without getting into how to get out of the parallel of the Karka. Okay, getting back to, or you could say that they're both right. Now, just getting back to our original discussion, which is now that we've finished discussing Shvua Zed Echad, let's finish this. What about Shvuas HaShomron? Are you kind? Yeah.
Isn't this circular in the last afternoon, meaning how much money do you need to make a Shvua? I mean, so who cares if the shvua is a gevava, it's a shvua? How much money does the case have to be to be chai in the shvua? So why would the nature of what the shvua is be affected by whether or not the amount needed to generate a shvua is shekhas in the shvua?
Because if you hold the side of the kiri, you're not generating a chi shvua at all. You're generating a chi of mammon. He can get out of it with the shvua. But you're not generating a chi of shvua. So why would you care how much money it is? You're not generating a chi of shvua. You're generating a chi of mammon. He's lucky he can take a shvua and get out of it. Over here, you're generating a chi of shvua. Right? I would basically say that, look, over here, you're generating a chi of shvua. You're a vada chayev. Even on, you're generating a chi of mammon. You're about a chai even on fruta. Oh, why aren't you chai on karka if you're generating a chi of mammon? Oh, we'll have to explain that, and I can. But it's going to be difficult to explain that. If it's over here, you're really generating a chi of shua, then it can be more of an open question. You're generating a chi of shua and follow the rules of chi of shua, which requires shtei kesef. Or maybe not, there's no rule that shua requires shtei kesef.
When Rudy has shua at the beginning, is that shua at the definitely the same thing as kafas and nishba, that whenever there's going to be a chi of kafas and nishba, is only the one that's going to be a chiyuv of pikadon, or is there a difference between kavas and nishva and shua and nefa, kavas and nishva and shua and pikadon? Meaning, would we?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
In other words, the kavas and nishva happens to be in the case of shua and pikadon. What happens if kavas and nishva and another?
You're using words that you're not allowed to use that way. Shvuas eid echad, shvuas mun mitzvah, shvuas shomrim are shvuas that the judges make, the dayanim make you swear.
Right.
It's not shaykh talking about kafas nishba, because we're only discussing whether or not they make you swear. Kafas nishba is your own business.
Right.
Shvuas abikadon is the carbon you have to bring you swear falsely. Then is shaykh talking about, did you swear falsely because the dayanim made you swear falsely, or because you were kafas and swore falsely?
No, I understand. I was only saying that in the case, we haven't, the case that we were talking about where Tosos was saying, what are we comparing kafas nishba to, when we were comparing to shvuas shomrim, right?
They were comparing Shvuas to the Yadim, I said.
So all, that's what I said.
Yes, Shvuas to the Yadim, to all of them. Yes, that's what I meant. Okay, good. Now, how about Shvuas Hashem? So we know there's a big machlokes to Rishonim. We could list every single Rishonim in the world if we wanted to, but let's not. Let's just list, for example, the Rimi Gash and the Ramban, who are two of the more famous people involved in this right here on the Daf. And the Chuli V'Chuli. What are they arguing about? So, the Ramban is making two assumptions. What does the Ramban assume? There is a general rule that Chiyuv Shvua requires Shtei Kesef. Right? He says the rule of Shtei Kesef applies, and Shomrim falls under the general rule. Right, number one, there's a general rule, as we see from Modim Mekzas, and Shomrim, why shouldn't Shomrim fall under the general rule? That's what a general rule means. It applies generally. What does the Rimi Gash hold? He could have two ways of getting out of this. Obviously, the way I formulated it, it's pretty clear he could have two ways of getting out of it. Either there's no general rule, it's only a local moda b'miktsas rule, or he could say there is a general rule, but Shvuas Hashomrim is an exception. Why would Shomrim be an exception? You can't just go around saying something's an exception. You have to actually explain logically why. So, it could be because there's one line in the Gemara about Mesia that says, why does Shomer swear, at least in one case, l'hafiz daitul shal balabais, to appease the balabais. What does that mean? That it could be that, unlike all the other shuas, why does the guy swear? The guy swears because there's evidence against him. Not overwhelming evidence against him, then he just loses, but there's enough evidence that he has to swear. Shuas Hashomrim, there's no evidence whatsoever. I gave you my car to watch, and you claim it was stolen, and maybe it was stolen, or maybe you stole it. There's absolutely no way of knowing one way or the other, and I don't even know. I don't even have a time against you. Nobody knows. It's total lack of evidence whatsoever. So why should you have to swear? So maybe there's a difference. All the other shvuas are shvuas because of the evidence of the chi of shvua. Here, it's not a chi of shvua that we need to clarify the case. You won already. It's just lahav is daitel shabal bayis. But this guy feels bad. He says, look, I gave you my car, you didn't give me my car back. Not only that, you didn't give me clarity. Let me, if I'm not getting my car back, let me at least get some clarity from you. Do something, you know, to make me feel better. And you can ask, well, it wasn't even going to this, but the hate taste that you have to make me feel better. You know, it's very nice, and Abbas Israel, etc. Maybe things you have to make you feel better. So the answer is, once you took on the responsibilities of Shmira, maybe those responsibilities of Shmira include, you know, making me feel better as much as possible. So it's, maybe that's why it's an exception. It's a totally different angle. It's not based on the case at all. It's based on a total external factor that you have a chiyuv lahav daitel shvala bayis. You have a chiyuv to appease the guy somewhat. And that's why it applies. Even if there's a general rule that you're not going to shvua unless you're shtei chesed, that's when the shvua is because of the case, because of the evidence, because of the lack of clarity. But over here, where the shvua is, just you're trying to make him feel better, so you can make him feel better for a pruta, same as you can make him feel better for a shtei chesed. But let's think about that. Maybe that's even what the Rimigash wrote here. Because the Rimigash was dealing with the textual perspective in the Chumash. The parashah of the Chumash of Kesev O'Kalim is discussing Shomrim. So it seems like you need shtei kesef for a chi of shomrim, just from a purely textual perspective. It says no, because it's clear that the kesef in that parsha has to do with the taina and kfira. And shvuah says shomrim is not about kfira. And now, why is that so clear to him? So I'm not sure. You could say he's just being the diet somehow in a way that we didn't fully grasp in the psukim. But I think what he's trying to say is that no, it's clear from the psukim, or misvara at the very least, that it's clear misvara that shtei kesef only makes sense when the chiyuv is about the tightness, about the case. When the chiyuv lahav is daitel shvala bayis, then it doesn't really matter what it's about. His das is not measured in maos or prutas or dollars or shekels. His das is just his das, so make it better. If we just take one other example, we've just mentioned now something we had mentioned earlier, but we just sort of remind ourselves that you could say it's a general rule, you could say it's not a general rule. Fascinatingly enough, if you hold like what we just said for the Rimigash, there's a general rule of shtei kesef learned from Modim Mitzas, but it doesn't apply to Shmuel Zeidachon, it doesn't apply to Shmuel Zeidachon. It's a general rule, but everything's an exception. What's not an exception to the general rule? So there is something that's not an exception, don't worry. Which is, Shvuas, you could call this differently. You call Shvuas a Shufin, you could call it Shvuas on Tainus Safek, Hashutfin, or Shvua al Tainus Safek. There's a Takana Durabana that when someone acts in a fiduciary capacity, then after the relationship ends, you have the right to make him swear, even though you have no idea if he breached the trust that you placed in him or not. And it's mafurish in the Gemara that it's only for shtei kesef. That's mafurish in the Gemara later in the seventh paragraph. Mafurish only shtei kesef. This is a mafurish Gemara which no one even gets out of. Why? So, why when their Rabbanim made this Nakana, did they say that it only applied to the shtei kesef? So, one possibility is there's a general rule of shtei kesef. If there's a general rule of shtei kesef, which the Ramban seems to assume, and which the Rimigash might assume, then we understand. But what if there's no general rule? Right? Because we said one of our ways of interpreting the Rimigash, so there's no general rule of shtei kesef. So there's no general rule of shtei kesef. Just so I have a shufas or something, we broke up and I said, maybe you stole from the shufas. Why should we only have to swear from shtei kesef? So you have to say that there's some link to modim and mixas, that there is no general rule, but the shvuah kind of suffix has some link to modim and mixas, which at first sounds like a very random arbitrary idea, and we're looking, didn't go into it, but if you look in Rashi, Daf and Ches and Beis, right in that sugya, then Rashi actually says, it's not 100% clear to me what he means. I need a little more. Rashi basically says every case of Shusha Shushbin is seems to say is a case of motive mixtas, really. Not sure exactly what he means. He might mean because every time I say you might have taken more money, after all, we have some settlement in accounts and whatever we split with Shushbin, we admit we owe each other some amount, and I'm claiming more than that. So it's domed motive mixtas, because every time there is a relationship where we're admitting something and I'm claiming more, so it's like I'm claiming more, you're admitting less. It's like a motive mixtas. Nishbon v'notlin. What about Nishbon v'notlin? Right, midaraisa. There is no Nishbon v'notlin. That's the first mission of the seventh parak. In Yerubana, there are many cases where you're Nishba v'notel. So you, that the Gemara does the same thing. Are you Nishba v'notel only if there's shekeset, or even if even on a shavar pruta? So. That is a machlokus. The Rambam says Nishba v'notel, they were only misakin at Shtei Kesef. The Ravid says that the poor Sachir, one of the Nishba v'notel is that the Sachir claims the boss didn't pay his wages. Right? So he can be Nishba v'notel. Because the assumption is the boss might forget how many of his 1,000 workers he paid, but this worker remembers very well whether he got money to buy bread for his family tonight or not. The Ravid says, never here. You Rambam, you should, I'll give you the Kisei HaMishpat in stone. The lawyer who's trying to stay kesset per hour can be nishba v'notel if the guy doesn't want to pay. But the poor, you know, construction worker is only getting a pruta if he has family that night can walk away empty-handed because no, they're going to nishba v'notel. So, not really a kasha, but that's the Ravid accuses the Rambam of. So, and Shuas Hesses, by the way, there's also machlokas, which you didn't get into because I think we're going to wait until we get to Shuas Hesses. We didn't really explain the lumbus behind the Rambam and the Ravid. Obviously, the easiest way to explain the lumbus would be the argument that there's a general rule that Shuas requires Shtei Kesef or not. But one thing we did point out is that there doesn't have to be one answer. Because Tosfos, at the beginning of the seventh parak, which is, Kol Nishbon Shebetor Nishbon Velo Meshalmin, but Be'elu, Midrabon, Nishbon V'notlin, has a list. These are the five people Nishbon V'notlin. Then all the Mishnayos in the Perek Zion are at the beginning. Then a few Mishnayos later, although it looks like one long Mishnah, says, "Oh, Habagim Shabbosa has to swear before she takes an Eichon Yishavuah and Yuchas Mishabadim and Minayisom and all these people before they collect they have to swear." So why did the first Mishnah say these are the five people of the Nishba and Notel? And later on, four Mishnayos later, it says, "Oh, these people have to be Nishba and Notel." Why didn't you put them on the same list? So Tosfos in the beginning of the seventh parak, the very first Tosfos there, doesn't really have a it has different answers. He says that the first list is only those which you would have had a havamina of the first list is those where there was no possibility of Nishba v'Niftar. The second list is those where it could have been Nishba v'Niftar or Nishba v'Notel. Okay. The Ramban says they're just a more Pashut distinction, which Tosfos would also have to agree to. It's just a Pashut distinction. He says there's two types of Nishba v'Notels. There's a case where Midoraisa, you should have been Nishba v'Notel Stam, and there are Banim where Machmer on the plaintiff to swear before he takes. And there's a case where Midoraisa, you didn't deserve any money. There are Banim where Machmer on the defendant that if the plaintiff swears, the defendant can collect. The first group are all cases we know Raisi should have been Pato Lagamre. And Rabbanan helped the plaintiff be Nishba v'Notel. The second group are groups we know Raisi should be Chayim Lagamre. And the Rabbanan helped the defendant and said, let the plaintiff swear before he takes. That's very poshut again, even though Tosfos didn't use that answer to explain the structure of the Mishnah. It's true anyway. But Luxon just suggested, it's again just a suggestion, a speculation, that it could be that you don't need one answer for Nishba v'Notel. Since there's two different types of Nishba v'Notel, maybe they're two different dakanas entirely. Maybe one type of Nishba v'Notel, would chayev even on a pruta, but the other type of Nishba v'Notel would be chayev only shtekes. Like, for example, maybe the type that's really chayev, we just say swear before you take, that's even on a pruta. But the fact we say you're really potter, we're going to make a whole new ma'arechet here and let you swear and take the only shtekeset. Theoretically, you could have said opposite. He just threw that out as a possibility, and we left it with that.
I thought that Wilson said that.